Good evening, and welcome to Song Talk Radio for this April the 28th, 2015, streaming to you live on CJRU, the Scope at Ryerson in Toronto, Canada. Song Talk is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. They can be fresh newbies, they can be established professional songwriters, or anything in between. During the show, we share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become a little bit better at writing songs. I'm your host, Neil Modi, and joining me tonight are the nutritious members of Song Talk Radio Action Team.
What?
Broccoli Bruce.
Hello there.
And Fennel Phil.
I'm part of a good breakfast.
And live tweeting the show tonight is Jackfruit Janice.
Jackfruit.
Jackfruit.
Hi, Janice.
All the songs featured tonight are going to be about fruits and vegetables. No, I'm only kidding.
No. What is a jackfruit?
You'll have to look it up. It's a very tasty, delicious... anyway. Be sure to follow along with Janice's tweets, and you can tweet us back at Song Talk Radio. And use the hashtag SongTalk. And don't forget, we always love hearing from you. So please send any of your thoughts, complaints, corrections, and care packages to feedback@songtalk.ca. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at SongTalk Radio. Use the hashtag SongTalk. And please stop by our website at songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on the show. And finally, please subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a review because that makes us more famous.
We're so available. It's almost too much. I think we should play Hard to Cat one more.
Is that a song?
Hard to Cat? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. tonight, our guest, when he's performing live, often hears someone in the audience shout something out. They say, "That is the best cover of All Hell for a Basement I have ever heard." But of course, it's not a cover.
Oh.
Because our guest tonight is returning singer-songwriter Patrick Ballantyne.
Yay!
And he's here tonight, actually, to talk about songs that he has co-written with others. And just like All Hell for a Basement, he's done work with other on other Big Sugar songs, If I Had My Way, Girl Watcher, and I Want You Now. Patrick has also collaborated on the radio hit Poor Old Broken Hearted Me by The Trues, great band.
Brilliant band.
More recently, he's joined creative forces with CMT favorite and East Coast Music Award winner Tom Chasen. Welcome back to Song Talk Radio, Patrick Ballantyne.
Thank you.
Great to have you on the show.
It's actually Tim Chasen.
Tim Chasen. What did I say?
You said Tom.
Tom.
That's his cousin.
That's his cousin.
I'm sure there's probably a Tom Chasen on his block. There's
probably
20,000 Chasens in Prince Edward Island.
Maybe it's his evil twin. So, we're going to be talking about collaboration.
All right.
Yeah. So,
all the ins and outs and all the little details.
All the little details. So, clearly from your resume there, you're pretty successful at it. So, we all know what it means to collaborate. We get together with other writers and we somehow come up with a song together. So, I want to start out, and you guys can answer this too if you've ever collaborated. But I'll start with you, Patrick. What's the one tip that you would give someone who's just starting out collaborating? What would you say to them is the best thing to think about or the best thing to do when you're collaborating?
I think the hardest lesson is to not be too precious about the part of a song that you have brought into the writing session. A lot of times the song will start with something that you've written or that the other person have written. But in my case, if it's something that I've written that I'm bringing forward to work on, it is going to get... Well, oftentimes it gets roughed up a little bit. It gets
changed.
Cut, it gets sliced, it gets changed. And, you know, what you thought was pretty good maybe doesn't come out the way that you had anticipated it would. I mean, that's part of the writing process, but it can be a bit of a blow to the ego sometimes.
Mm. Well, I know when I first started off writing, and I think when you start writing off, you think that your songs are delivered, you know, by God, and your ideas are perfect, and you don't want to let them go. And it's, you know, I've been in bands my whole life, so it's something I finally, fairly early on, got on top of was when people change stuff, at first you don't like it, but I found usually a month later, I love it. And a couple of times they've wanted to change back, and I'm like, no, we can't change it. It's great, you know, because it's they add something that you wouldn't do, and that's what the best thing part about collaboration is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point in collaborating just doing what you're going to do normally.
Yeah.
Well, most people will come with a different background in music or different training or they like different things. I mean, just to use the Gordy example, I mean, I grew up listening to the Beatles and Rolling Stones and that was my training. And then when I was in my teens, I was a big fan of Yes, of all people. You know, but also a big star. So I was always the melodic. But Yes was actually a very melodic band.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think I was really attracted to melody. When you talked to Gordy, he came from a blues background. He loved a lot of that. He loved Black Sabbath.
Oh, right.
He loved some fairly Rush, I think, and fairly heavy bands. Mm. Even Kiss, he was a bit of an influence on him. In addition to all the jazz stuff, right. He was very deep in that. So he brought a whole different spectrum of music to the equation, and I think the songs, you know, benefited from that. I mean, you can hear the melody in a lot of the stuff that we worked on together, but you can also hear some of the more interesting musical elements that he had in his background.
Mm-hmm. I collaborated with a guy from a metal band once.
That's right.
I'm essentially a folk singer. Like, my influences are Gordon Lightfoot and Neil Young and all that, and Leonard Cohen. And then I meet this guy, and he's from a metal band. He was a really awesome guitar player too. Like, he was classically trained as well as playing in this metal. So bringing that edge to my folk writing, and also, you know, bumping up the guitar sound and bumping up the yeah, it's the contrast, you know. And I think you know, one of the most famous collaborators was Lennon McCartney, and they talk a lot about the conflict, right? But I think, you know, that difference is what makes it interesting. I think there's not that you have to, not that you're going to have enmity for the person or not be able to get along with them, but that you bring different things. And you don't want to always be going, oh, yeah, that's what I would have thought of. That's the last thing you thought. You want, really, right? You want surprises.
Yeah, and I guess when you have that kind of difference, like I collaborated with someone from the meetup group with Peter, and mm-hmm. we have very different. Like, I'm largely the musician, he's largely the lyricist and vocalist. So I wouldn't trample over his vocal style so much. I wouldn't trample over his lyrics so much mm-hmm. necessarily. And by the same token, he would let me have a little bit free rein with the music side of the thing. So we kind of, you know, we somehow try to meet in the middle somewhere, mm-hmm. but. You know, at least you acknowledge the collaborator as you're the expert on X, so you can, you know, leave you with.
So how did that work for you, Patrick? You probably work with people who write lyrics and music at the same time as you do.
Yes.
So what's the trade back and forth? Is it just free flow?
I've found, well, there if, when it's working well, there's free flow. Sometimes it can be painful, as you know. Mm. But I think, as a general rule, if I'm working with another writer for their project. Like, they're the singer, they're the one who are going to be bringing the song out, which is typically the case. Mm. It's their lyric. As far as I'm concerned, it's their lyric, so they can do as they please. I might have an idea or two, mm-hmm. but I don't want to...
impose
anything. They're the ones who have to sell it. They're the ones who have you know, something that they would like to deliver. So I generally take a back seat when it comes to lyric writing. Now, that's not always the case. In some mm-hmm. cases... I've written, you know, the bulk of a lyric.
Right.
But I mean, as a general rule, I don't really push hard when it comes to lyrics when I'm working with another singer.
Now, how do you handle conflicts? Like, sometimes if you're working with someone, and you know they might be supplying words or some part, and it's like they got like too much stuff, and you're saying, look, we can't cram all this stuff into, you know, this bit of music, but they insist on it. I mean, how do you handle those kind of conflicts?
Again, if it's their project, at the end of the day, it's their call.
Okay, right.
I mean, that's how I approach it. You know, and I may be wrong. You know, if I might have a different opinion, but and God knows, many times I have had a different opinion on how something should go.
Right.
You come around. A lot of times you come around, and like you were saying earlier, you know, you get used to it a certain way, and you realize, yeah that's actually. A better approach to the song.
Right.
Well, that's actually the other point, is that, like, going back to sort of checking your ego at the door, is to not come in to a collaboration session being terribly attached to anything.
Yeah.
You know, like, a couple of weeks ago, I came up with a little piano ditty almost by accident, and I just sent it off to a friend of mine and said, look, if you want to come up with a melody and a lyric for this, then feel free to do it. But I didn't spend, you know, forever on it. I didn't, you know, come to really embrace it or marry it or anything like that, right? I was just like, here it is. Do with it what you will. So if she wants to sort of, you know, change some chords or whatever, I'm not, you know, that attached to it anyway. So
have you done that before? How did it turn out for you?
Actually, not. Okay. In that specific way, not. I've never just kind of written off something. I probably would have kept it to myself for more time and tried to develop it more. But I just thought, you know what? Send it off, see what happens.
Yeah. I've messed around in, you know, playing the piano, and I don't play the piano at all very well. But in the same way that working with another writer can sort of shake up your mind a little bit and help you from falling in the traps, I find playing the piano, it'll help you to write a little bit differently. But, you know, a lot of times, that's kind of a cool thing, and then that I hit on the piano, and I'll record it. And I once time sent it off to a friend, a gal named Monique Berry, who I love and just adore. She's a wonderful singer-songwriter locally. And she was putting an album together, she's a classical pianist. She teaches piano, right? And I said, well, have a listen to this, you know, crappy little thing that I sent it off to her. I recorded it on my iPhone, sent it off to her, and it came back absolutely beautiful. And I'm thinking, nice. I didn't write that. But I did.
She used it.
It was just wonderful.
Now, in a situation where you have two songwriters, you know, you're not working on necessarily someone's project, but you have two songwriters coming to meet in to collaborate, and this is something people have asked me at the meetup, and this is also something we don't normally talk about, but is how do you handle the actual writing? Like, if you were going to register with SOCAN, how do you handle the...
The credit
of it, yeah.
Well, that can really put a strain on it, clearly. I mean, you've hit on one of the real big problems. And I found that that's a... Let me start with what I learned when I was in Nashville. And I went there a few times. I've tried co-writing a few times down there. But apparently the Nashville room is that if you're in the room, like Janice gets a co-write, all five of us get a co-write, it's just by being in the room.
Yeah. Really?
And I think I think that probably is a pretty good way to do it, because actually trying trying to figure out who contributed what, it can become a very mathematical equation.
Yeah.
But you know, I wrote 50% of this song, but you know what? I wrote the most important part. I wrote the hook.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I should have more weight.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no point.
You know what? That's a very difficult equation, and I think almost every time for me now, if I do a co-write, no matter how much I've contributed or not contributed to the song, we'll do a 50-50 split.
Well, because I know that's what the Tragically Hip do. They actually just divide the songs evenly, and that's what we did in the Parktel Hookers. Is no matter whose song it was, who brought in the bass player, or myself, or the guitar player.
I'm glad he didn't say who brought in the hooker.
Yeah, we divide that up differently, but we actually would always divide it completely evenly.
Yeah.
But the problem was on SOCAN, you could only do 33.3. And that wasn't enough, so someone had to get 33.4.
0.34,
yeah. Yeah, so we figured the person who actually came up with the idea gets the
extra 0.01. I'm pretty sure Sloan works that way too, because they have four independent songwriters, and each of them sings lead on their own song, so it's pretty clear, and they all have four distinct styles. And it's pretty clear whose song is whose when it comes to Sloan, but I'm pretty sure they divide everything 100%.
Yeah, I think it actually helps people sort of put their whole self into it, you know. They're not guarded.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And to be honest, I always tell people, look, you know, the chances of this actually making any difference in your life is probably zero.
You know?
The best line I've heard recently is that there's hundreds of dollars to be made in songwriting.
That's if you take the CDs and actually, like, use them to scrape paint. They work really well.
Great. Coasters for your
So I don't know. I mean, that's not it. I mean, that's the easy answer. It doesn't always work that way. I mean, sometimes somebody just has like a goofy lyric line. One line, and you know, you're hard pressed to claim 50% under those circumstances.
But then again, you don't know if that idea kind of triggered something else that made, you know, like...
Well, just like he was talking about his piano thing.
Right? Yeah.
So you never know how it's going to trigger somebody else. And okay, why don't we hear a song?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
So this is...
Oh, come on.
So this is called Blast Your Way Out. Do you want to talk just briefly about what the collaborative
process
was? I'll
talk about it, but I'm not talking briefly about it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll talk in my briefs about it.
We can do the song first.
Is that because you're a lawyer?
I am. Don't tell anybody.
Sorry.
He's not a lawyer.
So this is a song...
Not today.
He's an evil lawyer.
This is an example of a song that came very easily. In fact, it actually came on a lunchtime session with Tim. He was in town working on his next record, and he's getting songs together, and I took off on my lunch break and went over to where he was staying, and he played me the music. And I sat there with my iPad, almost as he was playing the music, boom, the lyrics were done.
Wow.
I mean, it just, it was, I was so inspired by the music that he was playing that the whole thing just flew out and got, maybe I had a good breakfast that morning or something was troubling me.
You had your Wheaties.
Whatever it was, but it just worked. It came very naturally. And we've been in the other boat where things take forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this one came out very naturally and he put it on his last record. No, he has a current one. A record before called The Other Side.
Oh, great.
Cool. So much of moving is just moving on. Whatever you're choosing, then something is gone. The lesson is clear. Keep your heart in your chest. There's no denying the fun that we had. Not all our rainy gray memories are bad, but the road's got a hand, and we really did give it our best. And the night is filled with black and blue. The walls are closing in on you. If you can find a way, you can run away, you can blast your way out. You can find a way, you can run away, never ask, never doubt. Just blast your way out. Your mama called me to ask how you are. Your mama called me and I see just how far that you've drifted away from all the truth you believe. What joker said that we reap what we sow? Some broken sinner who just didn't know that we must take control, dust off our coats and leave. And the night is filled with black and blue. The walls are closing in on you. If you can find a way, you can run away, you can blast your way out. You can find a way, you can run away, never ask, never doubt. Yeah, you can find a way, you can run away, you can blast your way out. You can find a way, never doubt, just blast your way out. Just blast your way out. Just blast your way out.
Oh, what a great tune.
Thank you. Yeah, Tim is outstanding. He's such a quality guy to begin with, but he's just—I'm embarrassed singing songs that he wrote, because when you hear him singing, it's like, oh my God, he's got a voice that's like an angel. Anyway, there you go.
Now, can you just so that we see where you came from? Do you remember how he played it when you were
just like that?
Just like that.
He was sitting well, better and higher up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, he was just sitting there, sort of casually. How about this? And he said.
So was he doing the vocal melody at that point?
He had, some melody, as I recall. You know, it's funny, that part I don't remember. I suspect he did. He probably had the melody. He had a lot of the lyric idea. He certainly had the chorus ready to go. We didn't have a whole lot to do except sort of work on the verses and sort of tighten up the arrangement a little bit.
So he had, if you can find a way, then you can run away.
Yeah.
You can blast your way.
Yeah, the chorus is just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's
great.
Oh,
yeah, it's beautiful. He's, thank you. Yeah, Like I say, it's one of those sessions where it's just very inspiring. You just count your lucky stars that you're actually in the room. You know?
That's great. Yeah, no, it's, I just love the way the, you know, in the chorus you've got that wonderful hook. You can run away and then you can blast your way out. It's just a perfect little pop tune.
Yeah.
And wonderful images as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
What do you think, Bruce?
Well, you know, I really liked it. I like a lot about the way the lyric moves, the play on find a way, then run away, blast your way. Kind of like a theme and variation, fooling around with the lyric. And I like also that it's not literal. Like, there seems to be a story going on there, but it's like what Joker said, reap what we sow, some bro, that we have to take control, dust up, and just leave. It's very in a storytelling, and yet it's ambiguous about exactly what it's about, right? It's not telegraphing that this is a particular person who had to run away and get away from something, but it's captured that feeling, you know?
It's a very strong image. It's in the title, and it's in the chorus, of course. You can blast your way out.
Yeah,
you're not just
different.
You're not just moving your way out. You're not just, you know, reaching or something like that. It's yeah. blasting like that. Yeah. That's a very strong image, and I kind of wonder, you know, what the inspiration for actually blasting
was. It his thing he brought from his life, or
well, I don't want to speak for Tim.
No,
and
no.
Right?
Do,
yeah,
I mean,
okay.
Yeah,
was,
but
yeah.
You know, I think when I was writing it, the parts of the lyrics that I was thinking of were somebody who's just stuck. In a, I don't know whether it was a relationship or in a bad home situation or whatever
it's got a hint
it is.
Of that, yeah.
And it's not entirely bad, but you got to bring it to an end at some point, or you're going to explode, right?
Yeah.
And it can, you know, the pressure can build up so much. Hence the blast.
That's the blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Know? Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's almost like you need that kind of explosive emotion to make the change happen, because there's so much inertia. Like when you say the night is full of black and blue, it sounds like fighting to me, you know, like and the walls are closing in. It's obviously someone, it
someone
feels
suffering.
Like trapped, suffering,
yeah.
trapped,
yeah.
just being beaten either mentally or some way in their heads. And I know for me, whenever I made any big changes in my life, there had to be quite a triggering event, like quite a
yeah.
big to overcome the inertia of things are just fine. There's a breaking point, right? And
yeah.
Whether it's a relationship or a job, and you just say, that's it, I'm done, I'm gonna blast my way
out
of
here. Yeah.
Well, to bring it back to the collaboration element of it, I mean, he didn't really ask me what I was getting at, and I certainly didn't ask him what he was getting at lyrically.
Really?
We just sort of brought it together, and there it is. And so what he hears and what he's thinking about when he's singing it, and what I think about when I'm singing it, might be slightly different things. And I think that's because there is, I think, a story element to it,
mm-hmm.
but it is vague, and that's, I think, my curse. I'm not a great storyteller.
Well, no, I mean, it's,
but I think, but it also leaves it open to interpretation to
yeah,
other people.
Yeah.
So somebody, it'll resonate with more people. I
yeah,
think.
It allows people to read themselves into
absolutely.
The,
that's beautifully
piece.
Put. Yeah, yeah.
Thank
exactly.
you.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, well, that's interesting. Like if Tim had come with a bit of the chord pattern and the guitar part and the chorus, you can blast your way out, and left it to you to sort of write the verses. Then yeah, you can interpret that any way that you like. I remember this reminds me of this is a bit of an aside maybe, but an interview I heard with Soundgarden back in the 90s, and they had a song called Blow Up the Outside World, and Chris Cornell, the lead singer, was saying how people automatically assume that's some sort of a chant for militant, you know, kind of behavior or something like that. But he said it really is just a song about sort of people getting into focused creative energy and sort of just being in the zone, so to speak,
and
blowing up the outside
yeah.
world.
Yeah, well, there
right?
you go.
So it's interesting how you
that
can
in
interpret.
The world, is there?
Yeah, exactly.
And that Beatles song about revolution, they didn't mean revolution.
No.
Is that about the same
They
token?
Meant evolution, but
they
it was their accent that
yes.
made it sound like evolution, yeah.
Number 9.
Well, some songs are more clear, aren't they? But,
so did the
I like this one.
Did the verse melodies come sort of after the lyrics? Or I guess it's hard to remember the
You know
specifics.
What? I thought I remembered it, but it just feels like it sort of arrived fully formed.
Right.
In many respects. I mean, like I say, he trusted me with what my contribution was, and I loved what he was doing. And like I say, it was literally as he was playing that and singing the melody, and I was sort of responding to it. It was an emotional response in my mm-hmm. in my part. It wasn't, right. I was writing from a position of emotion rather than trying to tell a story.
Right. How long have you guys been working together at this point? At that point?
About 4 years now, I think.
All
so
right.
Just before his last record or before the, what was the record called? The Other Side.
Right.
I worked with him on a few songs on that, and then we worked on a few more for his current record, and one of those made the album.
How was the first sort of meeting when you guys sort of sat down and worked together?
This is another funny element of it, and it might just be that our personalities just meshed when it came to songwriting, but we got together on day one. Again, it was a lunchtime thing. I went over where he was staying. And we wrote a song. And it was equally effortless. It was done within 2 hours. And it was actually, I thought, a really strong song. And I was on a high. I was just on such a high that I remember going home telling my wife, oh, it was just great. You got to hear this. I think it was played it for her on the phone or whatever. And then you think, well, we had scheduled another meeting for another one for the next day. Mm-hmm. And I thought, shit, pardon me. I said, how are you going to do that again? Pardon me. And sure enough, we wrote this one the second day.
Oh,
it was
wow.
like, boom, boom. I said, well, this is yeah. good. And every time we've worked together, I've been really pleased with how the songs have turned out. Again, it's just something about the way.
Are you friends? Like you hang, or is it more well, professional
lives in,
relationship?
He lives in Prince Edward Island. He's yeah. on the road all the time. I would say we're friends, but we don't hang out. I mean, okay. not.
But you have some chemistry, obviously, some mm-hmm. professional
rapport,
chemistry.
Well, certainly on a musical front, it just works. It worked for us. And
like you don't have to be friends. Like you hear these stories about songwriting duos who didn't really hang together much. You know, they weren't buddies.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah.
when they sat down to be pros and let's write a song, you know, and practice their craft, I think that's the thing people, they may miss. They say, you know, it's just that you can collaborate with someone without being their friend. You can be professionals together, right? It's like a work project when you take it to that level. You
it
say,
helps
what
if
skills?
You're you had to be respectful.
Respectful, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, professional yeah. is the person. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to take just a mention of that this is CJRU, and you're listening to The Scope at Ryerson, and this is Song Talk. And we wanted to remind you folks in Toronto that this radio program actually came out of something called the Songwriters Cafe, which is a meetup group. And in Toronto here, and we're going to have our next meetup group on Sunday, May 24th at 1 o'clock at the Transact Club in Toronto. It's halfway between Bathurst and Spadina at Brunswick, near the Brunswick Tavern, and a great little venue there. And you can check us out at meetup.com Songwriters Cafe for all the details. And the roundtable events are free. It's free to join on meetup.com. You come and it's kind of like this radio show, except there's like maybe 20 people.
15, yeah.
Maybe 12 people singing their one song, and there's beer.
And there's beer. And everyone in the group contributes to the feedback.
The feedback, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. And also, I did want to say that coming up on Song Talk, we've got, next we have James Clark. Wow.
Oh, yes, he's a friend of TC Folk Punk.
Oh, right on, cool.
A friend of TC Folk Punk, yes. Tim Cameron, a.k.a. And the next week we're going to have The God Knows, a young band here from Toronto, which is led by Alon Rodovinsky, who's been on the show before. And we're
a couple times, yeah.
Excited to hear their band.
Yeah, yeah.
The band in here. Lots of energy. I saw them live the other week. And so tune in for those, and back to you, Neil.
And don't forget, we'd like to hear from our audience. So you can tweet your questions and comments into us at Song Talk Radio. And or use the hashtag Song Talk. And don't forget to stop by the website, songtalk.ca, and find out how you can be a guest on our show, just like Patrick.
Yes.
Awesome stuff.
Isn't it fun, Patrick?
It's the best.
Are you having a good time so far?
I am having a good time. I even put a suit on.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll be seeing that on YouTube.
Yeah, we'll be seeing that on YouTube.
Now,
okay.
What? Can you maybe give us a bit of background? Like, have you gone into like a songwriting meetup that did not work out?
Yes.
No names. Okay.
How bad was it?
Story ends.
Well, I mean, could you maybe?
Well, I mean, you can go. I mean, I've written with friends who I've written with, you know, songs with millions of times, but you get together sometimes and just nothing doesn't work.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, and this is something I had to learn over time. And again, I think it might be somewhat contrary to the Nashville approach, which I have a lot of respect for, but I've got another job. I've got a family at home. So when I'm working on a song, I don't have a boatload of time. So I'm trying to be efficient about it. So if you're working on something and you get stuck and it's not flowing, or you get stuck on a word, you know, it's for some reason you just hit a wall, move on to something else. A lot of times people will just beat away at it until they get the song done. Whereas I prefer to step away from it and move on to another song and see whether you can get some magic happening there instead.
Very
it's wise. Not like that's going to wither away and die with the first thing you're working on, but you're obviously not, you know, able to complete it that time. So move on. There's, you know, you'll have tomorrow to work on it or some other time.
What if the chemistry just isn't there, though?
I haven't had that so much yet. I've been fortunate. I mean, the people... again, if you're respectful with one another and you're, you know, polite, it'll be fine. But I haven't worked with anybody who was a jerk, and I don't think I've ever been a jerk to anybody. I hope not, anyway.
I haven't heard anything. I'm not saying I have.
I certainly have never intended to be. I would imagine that's quite common when you're thrown in with other people and you just don't get along. I have not had that experience.
Okay, why don't we hear another song?
Okay.
Okay.
I think it's a recording this time.
Oh, good. Yeah. Pressure's off.
Yes.
Just relax, yeah. And don't forget, Janice is in the studio here tweeting, so you can tweet her through, what is it, hashtag Songtalk.
Right? Hashtag Songtalk, of course,
at Songtalk Radio.
Songtalk Radio.
I haven't heard her say one tweet at all.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the sound? That's that texting thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's tweeting.
Tweeting.
They need to sit here in the corner and be silent.
Yeah.
So
this we'll get
you're close to the door, you can leave more quickly.
So this song you wrote with Meredith Shaw?
Oh, Meredith Shaw. Yes. Meredith is a wonderful local singer, songwriter, and radio personality and philanthropist and she's an extraordinary woman.
Wow.
And I've been working with her now for, Jesus, I don't know, 5 or 6 years anyway. Gordy hooked us up. Gordy had met her and was working with her, and he suggested that we get together, and I'm certainly glad that we did. We worked together a lot on her record called Place Called Happy, and we've written many songs together and performed many times together. And the song that we're going to play now is called Slide. And, you know, when I, you know, I had like something like this. Slide. How did I do it? It was like, anyway, it was like really something simple, but I couldn't finish. It was just I had this little chorus idea, but I could not take the song anywhere. And it was frustrating. I'd get it, like, speaking of showers, I was, I would sing this song to myself in the shower more often than not, trying
to
finish it. Right, it was like, because it was a really catchy little melody, but it just wouldn't go anywhere. And one time we were down again. Nashville comes up. We were down in Nashville doing some writing and doing some co-writes and some meetings and all that kind of stuff. And we were sitting at SoCan House, and I said, "Well, what about this?" And I played the idea for her, and boom. So there's a perfect example of where you just cannot get out of your own way to finish a song, but you bring in somebody else, and she just took it in, and just molded into, I think, this perfect little sort of country R&B song. And this has features Pat Robitaille from the Walkervilles is on vocals on this song as well. I think the Walkervilles are in the background vocals as well, and they're an awesome band out of the Windsor area. Who are doing big things as well.
Brilliant.
Cool.
All right.
Slide in a little bit closer.
Slide by Meredith Shaw and Patrick Ballantyne.
What a tune.
This is CJRU, the Scope at Ryerson Song Talk Radio, and we have Patrick Ballantyne here with us, one of the co-writers. I love that bit at the end of the verse. It's so unexpected where the guitar is ding, 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 ding,
and
then drops into the chorus. That's beautiful. I love it. Great, great, great song.
Well, so, it's good to have a good producer on that. That was John Angus McDonald from The Trues was the producer on that song.
So you had, you came to Meredith with pretty much the chorus?
Yeah, it was pretty much the chorus. And I had sort of a structure for the song, but I couldn't come up with a lyrical idea. I couldn't really finish it. I just could not make it make any sense. And it wasn't until we got together, and maybe it was the bourbon. as a matter of fact, it's probably a good bet that it was the bourbon. But between the two of us, we just, all of a sudden, boom, it just came together. And she really just took you know, the idea I had and ran with it.
You don't remember the idea, though, that you had, how you were playing it? It'd just be great for someone to hear where it started from and then...
Something like... And that was it. It was just like repeating that over and that. So I had that.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much that little bit.
So you didn't have the slide a little closer now.
No, slide of that, the hook, the line. That's what I say. I could not come up with a lyrical idea for it. It wasn't until we got together and we sort of just casually started working on it that the whole slide thing came together. And then once we had that, everything flowed.
Yeah,
it was a pretty focused idea. Like it's not, you know. Complicated.
No, it's by no means complicated, but you know, some of the best songs are pretty direct, and you know, the song has a real nice sexy vibe to it.
Oh yeah,
it's got a great
am I
groove.
Allowed to say that word?
Yes.
I think so.
Let's call the station.
Yeah.
Oh, we are the station.
How about you, Bruce? What do you think?
I really liked it. I mean, it's, you know, so much of I think you're talking about this really, Patrick, so much of songwriting is the emotions, the feelings, the atmosphere around the song. It's not an intellectual exercise per se, like you talked about the co-write, where you had one feeling about a song and the other person had a feeling about the song, and then it came together and it works, right? And I think this is a groove song, I would say, right? So it's a love song, obviously, right? And I think it's just sweet. It's very Motown kind of thing,
yeah.
You know, sexual healing kind of thing, you know, and I can imagine people being at a dance somewhere and dancing very close to this, you know, and just grooving. And I think, you know, I tend to be I'm a lyricist first, and I tend to really focus on the lyric, you know, how is it a story, does it mean something, and all that. And I want to write more that's more just a groove tune, right? That not that the lyrics aren't important, but that there's a melodic thing happening and a feeling happening, right?
Well, it's amazing what you can do with just cool. if you start with a simple idea and say this entire song is going to remain a simple idea. Mm. How can you actually get enough words and enough kind of emotion and enough kind of verve out of that?
But there could also be a challenge in really eliminating what you don't need. That is keeping a lyric simple, not overcomplicating it, not overthinking it. There could be a real challenge there. I remember that's a discussion I had with Gordy about, you know, how do you whittle a chicken from a piece of wood?
Well,
you take a knife and you cut all the pieces of wood that don't look like a chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
in this particular case,
I think that was Michelangelo, isn't it?
Well, I'm not claiming authorship, but I don't know that Gordy would either. But it's a great notion, and it's something always to keep in mind. You just if it's not needed in the song, if it's not really adding anything, then it probably isn't, you know, a good thing to keep it in.
Oh, by the way, we just got a tweet from Sharon who says, "More, please."
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Well,
just quickly on that point.
Tell her to go to MeredithShaw.com.
MeredithShaw.com.
That certainly gets back to the notion of collaboration, that as a collaborator, if you're not terribly attached to something, then you can easily discard it. And especially if your collaborator says, "Look, we really don't need this." And
kind of a Buddhist thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then just see what happens without it. And you know, when you're collaborating, you can always try it one way or the other and go back. Like, there's nothing ever written in stone, right?
Because I've been in situations where, you know, I brought in a song and the guys wanted to do something and you're just going, this is the stupidest idea I've ever heard. And you kind of smile and go, okay, and you go through it. And it turns out to be so great. Yeah. And you're just going, like, I never would have considered that. Yeah. But they have to drag you, you know.
You really got to trust. And I mentioned I've worked with Tim for a while. I've worked with Meredith now for a long time. We've sat many an hour in the living room, you know, banging stuff out. And you really develop a lot of trust in one another and respect for one another's ideas. And that's another thing you got to be able to do is don't be afraid to be stupid, you know.
Right.
We're not geniuses.
Yeah, they're not. They may not. You got to be able to throw an idea out there, and it might just get rejected immediately, but you can't put that filter on yourself. You got to let the ideas flow.
About play.
It really, well, Gordon, there's a Big Sugar song called So Not Over.
Love that
so
song.
So Not Over, yeah. Right? I remember sitting in my apartment on King Street with Gordy when we were working on that song, and the chorus is, you say it's over, it's so not over. And we're looking at each other saying, this is so stupid. Mm-hmm. Can we actually use that? And we were laughing but ultimately, you got to trust your instinct. But it was such a stupid, goofy idea that we ran with it. And it turned out to be a great hook for the song.
Yeah. You just never know where these ideas are going to come from. You know, your hooks are your golden ideas.
Bourbon helps, but it's not necessary.
Okay, yes, we're not officially, Song Talk is not saying that we should have bourbon.
No.
Okay, I did want to ask one question, though, because it's kind of important.
What kind of
brand of bourbon? But because I know people have asked me this. Like, when you go into writing with someone new, is there an understanding of how things are going to work in terms of, okay, we're going to do it 50-50 or...
Oh, they have to be, right?
Yeah, it's always... I mean, I'm bad at that, but if it's something I would strongly encourage people to do, and have an understanding up front of how you're going to be...
Who's going to do what?
Yeah. Do you need to see a lawyer or anything?
No, I don't...
Draw up a contract?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that... I shouldn't say that. I don't know. I've never done that. Right. I'm a lawyer, I guess. Maybe that's one of the reasons why. But I've never known anybody to do that. I mean, I think you got to go in there with an understanding that it's... I think your best bet is to go 50-50.
Yeah.
If you end up contributing 90%, it was an awful experience for you, well, then it cost you what it cost you for the one song. You don't do it again, right?
Yeah. Although people say do that before, like think of these things beforehand,
before
not after
you get together.
It's after it's been all recorded.
Well, you
and
hear
stuff.
These stories of like the bass player sues the recording artist, singer, songwriter, saying, "I actually worked with you that day, whoever your name is, and I have proof because I recorded my part that day, and now I'm going to sue you for that amount." Is that in danger of happening in co-writes? I guess it's rare, though, isn't it?
Well, I'd be probably, if it's the bass player playing a part, it'd probably be kind of tough to prove unless the bass part is something like that.
Poor Phil, he's a bass player.
Well, no, I don't mean it that way, but I mean, you hear stories like that. I mean, you read that. A lot of the great Bowie songs from the early 70s, you know, the bandmates were contributing a lot more than they were ever given credit for. But you got to believe there's some of that sour grapes as well and historical revisionism.
Greed.
You want a piece of the action, but you don't get a whole lot as a
piece, right? Yeah.
And you remember we saw that documentary?
Those guys from the 60s.
Wrecking Crew.
The Wrecking Crew, yes.
And how much the... It was great.
It was great.
How much of the stuff they were actually wrote, key bits. They never
really
actually got songwriting.
Yeah.
Like the Sonny and Cher song, you know, the song goes
boom.
The woman who wrote that
bass line,
she never got songwriting credits on it. She made lots of money off it, but not songwriting credits. Yeah. Interesting.
Okay, so you spoke about Gordy Johnson from Big Sugar. So this last song we have tonight is a co-write with him.
Absolutely, yeah. And this is a fun song because I've played this song in Vancouver. I've played this song in Nashville. I've played this song in St. John's. And there's always somebody, oftentimes more than a few people, who know the song and they're singing along. And it's even when you're down in the States and they're singing along with the song, it's kind of neat.
Because
I think it speaks to a lot of people who have had to move away for work. Mm. Somebody, I'm from Windsor. There's certainly a lot of that down there. And anyway, why don't I play the song and we can chat about it. It's called All Hell for a Basin.
When I first saw these lyrics and heard this song for the first time, the Alberta thing, I thought, like, talking about the tar pits or the mining. Fracking or the whatever.
The oil fields. I mean, there's an expression, I think it was a quote from Rudyard Kipling, the author, describing Alberta as having all hell for a basement. So that's, you know, it's the most beautiful place in the world, but it's got... and that's something that Gordy, I think, must have tripped over at some point, and it's just boom. That was all he needed for to run with the lyric of that one. So I give him full marks on
it's a very unusual line.
It is, and you wouldn't think that it would sing particularly well, but I'll tell you, people sure love it. In fact, they call what do they call it? If you look online, they usually call it Heaven in Alberta or something like that. They never call it All Hell for a Basement. But what a great image.
So can you talk about what your part was and what Gordy's part was?
Oh, I hate doing that. well...
We're here to deconstruct.
It was the collaborative process. And it was funny because you may have caught me. I messed up the lyric. The very first line was, I said, I am a simple man, which was the original... lyric. I'm thinking about, you know, how did we write that song? I mean, we were sat in his house over on Euclid some years back now with a couple of guitars, and he said, okay, well, I've got this, you know, melody here, you know. I said, well, that's nice. I said, well, keep playing it. So he played it. And I just sort of picked up right in time with him. I had the If I Lost My Way part from another song. That totally was a cut and paste from a different song, but it worked.
That fits.
Yeah. So we pieced it together that way, and then he pasted the lyrics over top of it some time later. We had some lyrics, like I say, I am a simple man, I walk a crooked mile. It was just riffing off the old fairy tale or whatever it is. So we didn't actually finish the song. There's another example. We didn't actually finish the song in that one instance.
Right.
We had the music mapped out, and we had some ideas on how the lyrics might go. But it wasn't for some time later that he says, okay, listen to this. And he played me that he had the, you know, he came up with the All Hell for a Basement and the, you know, words unfit to quote. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, he's got a reputation, a well-deserved reputation as a phenomenal guitar player. But he's, as a lyricist, he's really quite tremendous as well. He's a real great storyteller. He's got the ability to throw great images into a song, and he's one of those guys, again, who's just a pleasure to work with.
So he took the song and then worked on the lyrics
on his own.
Okay.
It sounds like a really kind of meshed together kind of collaboration, like a little bit from you, a little bit from him, back and forth, two sessions. Like, it's kind of, you know, as opposed to someone bringing the music, someone bringing the lyric, and then kind of...
Yeah, most of the sessions that I'm involved in, there's a little bit of both going on.
Yeah.
There's you know, they may come in with a melodic idea or a chord progression, and it could be as simple as a chord progression that you sort of that resonates with you, and they go and you run with that. I can't think of a session that I've ever been in where we just had like a lyric line. I think it's always been a melodic melody or a chord progression, but rarely lyrics always seem to be the stumbling block. Certainly in my case for writing, lyrics are always
certainly these three songs, and you've been on the show before and throughout your album, which I think is a great album, by the way.
Thank you.
And but melody seems to be a very strong driving force of all the songs that you're doing either on your own or with other people. It seems like melody is always sort of
That's something I really think is important, and the stuff I liked when I was growing up was all very melodic music, and you know, whether it was the Beatles or whether it was, I mentioned Yes, or whether it was Big Star or whether it was even the Clash. I mean, who I love when I was in the 80s, and the XTC.
They were gorgeous melodies.
The melodies were always what was so compelling to me, and also in none of those cases the lyrics were too trite. There was always a little bit more going on and some thought and some clever wordplay. Yeah. And I think that's something as well that inspired me. I mean, you go back to, you know, Noel Coward, for goodness sakes. You have to have big ears and hear a great melody and respect a great melody when you hear it. And that's what I try to do.
Are you ever writing from a title? Because I know we've talked to people who do the Nashville
thing. Yeah.
Mm. Yes. It did happen once, and it happened fairly recently. I'm working with a wonderful country singer named Allie Walker, and she came into a session with a song title.
Okay.
And I said, okay, let's do it. Boom. And we actually wrote a song based around the song title, and it kind of worked pretty well, actually. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the only time I can think of that I've actually done that.
Kind of a tried and true method, I think.
Is it really?
To a certain extent, I mean.
That's cool.
My songs start with an idea, a lyric idea, usually. Because I'm more a lyricist than a tune maker or musician. So I think of an idea for a song, and then a title. And sometimes when I'm just free-flowing stuff and I think of a phrase that would be really good in a song, I'll just write it down, either as a title, like that one, I Want Your Hair. So I'm balding and I see young guys with thick, full heads of hair, and I just say, I want your hair. And Neil said, that's a song, I Want Your Hair. There's something there. Something in that. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about it. Where can people find your music? What's the easiest way to get it?
The best place to start would be at patrickballantyne.com. That's ballantyne .com, and that'll give you links to what you need. Northwood Records as well, at Northwoodrecords.com. Probably be the best place.
And they're available iTunes as well.
iTunes, through the Northwood label, through all the usual digital places.
Great.
Okay. Very cool. I'm afraid that is all the time we have. It's just blasted by.
Thank
you so much.
Well, thanks.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
We blasted our way out.
And thank you to all of your collaborators, Gordy Johnson.
Nerdishaw,
Tim Chasen.
Yeah.
Great songs. I'd like to thank CJRU, Scope Ryerson, for putting up with us. I'd like to thank Eric Sorensen for manning our social media channels, and of course Janice Ho for tweeting out
thank
our live
Janice.
Broadcast. And most of all, thank you to our home listeners. Please let us know what you think. Feedback at songtalk.ca, Twitter at Songtalk Radio, Facebook and YouTube at Songtalk Radio. You'll see Patrick's performances there in about a week. Please stop by the website, songtalk.ca. There you can listen to archives of the show, watch the live videos, all the stuff is there. And also subscribe to the Songtalk Radio podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And when you're on Twitter, follow Phil at...
TheNoise_CA.
Follow Bruce at...
What is it called, Janice? Hashtag Bruce Herrick.
At Bruce Herrick.
Oh, at Bruce. I get the hashtag confused.
And you can follow
at Bruce Herrick.
And you can follow me at Mondo Art. And don't forget to follow Janice at Janice Ho Tweets.
Oh, yes.
And again, if you're in the Toronto area, don't forget of the Songwriters Cafe. Go to meetup.com, Songwriters Cafe. All the details are there. Thank you once again, Patrick. Great stuff.
Thank you, Patrick.
Great performance. Thank you.
Will you come back again?
Indeed.
Oh, thank you.
Next spring.
Good night, everybody.
Next spring.
Keep on writing and have a good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.